Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's a Wednesday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. It is great to be here today. The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. It's Wednesday. They'll be delivering lunch today. And Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, on a Wednesday, I tell you, I feel the best today I have felt in some time. Aided slightly by a Diet Red Bull, I'm not going to lie. I feel fantastic. How are you, Joy?
I'm great. I'm glad you're feeling better. I saved the Diet Red Bulls for, well, I guess we're not clubbing anymore. But if I have a long night ahead of me, I'm going to be out late. Diet Red Bull's the way to go.
Yeah, I don't club anymore. I go to a, well, a racket club, maybe. That's about it. Well, I want to start the show with this. We've all understood how pro sports works. There's always 4, 5, 6, 7 really well-run organizations in all leagues. Dodgers right now are really, really well-run. Yankees last 25 years mostly been well-run. Same with the Red Sox. You know who's well-run. And then you always have 6 or 7 franchises, and it's always kind of the same ones. It's always bad ownership, poorly run franchises in all the sports. And in the NFL, you don't have to be in the club forever. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were in the club for a long time. Now they're out of it. Sometimes you get one great player that changes everything, often a great coach. Bruce Arians arrives, builds a good staff. Tom Brady, Buccaneers were in that bottom club. In the NFL, I would call it the clown club. And these are teams, and right now, currently in the NFL, clown club, we have very predictable teams. The Jaguars, the Texans, the Bengals, Detroit, Washington football team, the Jets, the Browns. Now, the Browns would throw a pushback. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, stop. You made the playoffs 1 year. You've been a tire fire for 25 years. The fact that you'd argue it is why you're in the clown club. Now, Washington, by the way, just made the playoffs. But again, you've been a mess for 15 years. You've let go of all sorts of good coaches and good players. So it's the NFL clown club. And there's another team that is showing signs of getting into the clown club. According to Les Bowen, he's a very good reporter, has been for years in the NFL, Philadelphia. He says, spoke with an NFL management source about the Carson Wentz melodrama. He said if Wentz doesn't want the Bears won't trade for him. Eventually, the Eagles will just take whatever the Colts are offering. Maybe a second, third-round pick for Carson Wentz. Also, the Eagles will have to draft a quarterback 6th overall. God. What a mess. They're all their own doing. There are 5 signs, if you're an NFL fan, that you are moving into the NFL clown club. Number one, you start to have a lot of power struggles in the front office, a lot of ego. Number two, generally over the last 7, 8 years, you fired a coach, Andy Reid, who you look back and go, he's a lot better than the current coach we have. Number three, your quarterback situation, it just feels unsettled and handled poorly too often. Number four is there's an unhealthy level of arrogance despite brief success. You know, Saxonville, everybody wrote a book for the Eagles after Super Bowl. And number five is increasingly, you're not a great drafting team. So even though you're a bad team with good picks, you're missing a lot of picks. The Eagles, by the way, haven't drafted a Pro Bowler in 7 years except Carson Wentz. It looks like Philadelphia is about to enter the NFL clown club. The story this morning is Yeah, they're not going to get anything for Wentz. And they're going to have to draft another quarterback. I mean, they had Wentz. It was all their own doing. They had Wentz, they paid Wentz, and they butchered Wentz. And then last year, in what was one of the strangest things any of us had seen, even Chris Collinsworth, nicest guy in the world on the air, went ballistic. They had Jalen Hurts playing in a one-possession game, building confidence, division rival, playoffs on the line for Washington, and they pull him so a third-string guy can get reps. Jalen Hurts was on the sidelines, not happy. Of course he wasn't happy. Shouldn't have been happy. So I thought this morning, let's just make it official. Instead of just knocking on the door, let us open it, and the Philadelphia Eagles are officially, congratulations, in the NFL Clown Club with Washington, the Jets, the Lions, the Jags, the Bengals, the Browns, and the Houston Texans. You don't have to be in it forever. I mean, hey, Cleveland rattles off an 11-5. We may have to just pull them out. Joe Burrow looks very promising. You don't even have to be a playoff team. If you look like you're fairly well run, but those five signs in Philadelphia, front office, egos, looks like Andy Reid's a lot better than the 19-year-old you just hired. Quarterback situation feels a little poorly handled. You start lining those things up, you have an unhealthy level of arrogance for very little success, and your drafting sort of goes off the rails in recent years. Philadelphia, congratulations. Good luck working your way out of it. It's taken Cleveland a long time. They've been a 20-year charter member. I want to shift to this. So it's kind of embarrassing. I'm not a big fan of awards. I always said this about radio and television. I know who can play. I know who's good when the red light's on. I worked in local TV for 14 years. Every place I worked, there were three or four people. They're just great. They weren't always the people that won awards. You know who's good when the light goes on. You know who can't handle chaos. You know who's just naturally gifted. Reporters, editors, you know who they are. You don't have to have a plaque to tell you that. So LeBron James has only won four MVPs. He hasn't won one in 7 years. It's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing for the people who vote on it because he's easily the most valuable player in the league. But it's really a difficult word. What does valuable mean? Now, in America, statistically, in America, men make more money than women in a household on average. I would argue women are more valuable in the household. If the guy leaves, pays a little child support alimony, the family structure can still be held together by the mother. But if the mom goes off the rails, the family implodes. Guy's got too much ego. Now, I'm not saying all the time. There are obviously exceptions. But I've always felt in my family, it was mom and my sister and my wife. They're more valuable than I am. They keep it all together. And there's a big disparity in the NBA between talent and leadership. I think there's almost no super valuable players in the NBA. I think there's about three. But I think there's tons of talent. I'll give you an example. The Lakers last night won without Anthony Davis. They're 5-1 this year without him. They're 11-4 in 2 years without him. They win just as much without him. He's not that valuable. The Pelicans were bad with him. They're bad without him. They're 12-15 this year. They didn't go overboard with him. They weren't good with him. They're not good without him. The Lakers win with him. The Lakers win without him. I'll give you another guy, Kevin Durant. The Nets have won three straight games without him. The Warriors won a title without him. The Warriors won 75% of their games when he missed it. He's talented. But what's value? Kawhi Leonard, the year the Raptors won the title. They were 17-5 when Kawhi Leonard didn't play. He was great. How valuable. They were winning before him, and they've won after him. Giannis. He's back-to-back MVP. The Milwaukee Bucks are the worst team in the league when trailing after three quarters. They're 0-9. They're awful. Why? Because you don't want Giannis to have the ball with 4 minutes left in the game. He can't shoot. He's an incredibly gifted player. Valuable? They're on a four-game losing streak. You know why they're struggling right now? He's playing. You know who's not? Drew Holiday's not playing. And they're losing. Drew Holiday is the glue to that team. Giannis is the most talented. There's three players in this league, to me, that should always be top three and most valuable player. LeBron James, embarrassing he hasn't won in 7 years. Chris Paul, everywhere he goes, they win. Everywhere he leaves, now Oklahoma City's no good again. And Steph Curry. Steph Curry's always been the glue to the Warriors. He was the glue before KD got there. He was the glue when KD was there. And he's been the glue since he left. But you start looking around this league, Anthony Davis is great. Lakers are 11-4 when he doesn't play. And you could say, well, they wouldn't win a title without him. Right now, this team constituted as it is, I think they'd get to the title game. I'm not sure if they'd win it, they'd get there. This league, people confuse gifted and long and talented and spectacular with valuable. Valuable is you leave the team or you leave your family and it becomes an unglued, untethered mess. That's never been the case with AD. It's never been the case with KD. It's never been the case with Kawhi. It's always the case with Chris Paul. Have we talked about Blake Griffin? Have we talked about him one time, once, since Chris Paul left Blake Griffin? I mean, it's like milk carton. It's anonymous. He's like a prank phone call. It's anonymous. Where is Blake Griffin? No, they don't even talk about him with the Pistons. So it's interesting. Lakers, again, win last night without AD. Nobody's disputing his talent. Value? I'd argue it all day. Coming up next, there is something in sports we talk about from time to time. I call it the low sports self-esteem. The New York Mets have it. For years and years, the Clippers had it. The White Sox have had it. When you're kind of like the second banana in a city, you often have it. Like the Mets always reach, always spend too much. Because they're the little brother in a city. By the way, teams in a division with the Patriots for years, they would reach and overpay for pass rushers and overdraft a quarterback. And I'm not picking on the Browns, but there was a window to trade OBJ, and a report now, they got to move him, but it's too late. There's nothing to get for him now. And we'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Sometimes driving's good, weather's good, radio song's on, everything's perfect. Sometimes it's not so good, like right now. Prayers and thoughts to the people in Texas. Brutal weather right now. Go get Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades. Last two times longer than other blades. So there's a story out today. The salary cap, because of COVID, is going to drop this year. It's not going up, which means it's going to make for some interesting conversations in NFL front offices. You're going to have to get rid of some expensive good players. The story today is Cleveland's going to probably have to move Odell Beckham. This is something we've been on for 2 years. We've been saying this for 2 years. He's brittle. He's expensive. He's a star. He doesn't fit in Cleveland. And Baker Mayfield was clearly, data proves it, no debate, better without him. This goes to a root argument that people struggle with. The idea that more talent is always better for football teams is not true. There are individual talents with young quarterbacks where they sometimes feel pressured to throw the ball to him. We've been on this for 2 years. Look at the data. Move Odell. He's brittle. He'll get hurt again. Move him. They didn't. Now they're stuck because he's missed 25 games over the past 4 years. Why would you want him? Who wants a brittle, expensive wide receiver when college football, once again this year, is going to hand the NFL 25 to 28 receivers in the draft? There'll also be several undrafted wide receivers that'll make NFL teams. And receivers out of college are starring earlier in the NFL. They're making first and second year impacts. But this is the reality with Cleveland, which has always struggled with low sports self-esteem. They care deeply about what you think of them and what the media thinks of them. If I do any Cleveland rant, it always gets huge hits. Why? Because they care. I can rip successful sports teams. Nobody cares. Inner scoreboard, outer scoreboard. A lot of guys say they're confident. Outer scoreboard, they're very insecure. Inner scoreboard people, don't have to tell you how great they are. Brown fans are paralyzed by what people think, so they didn't want to move off Odell Beckham because they wanted to prove to everybody stars can work in Cleveland. We can bring stars. They can work because everybody said he's not going to work there. He's a London guy. He's a Paris guy. He's a New York guy. He's a Hollywood guy. He's got houses in New York and Hollywood. He don't want to be in Cleveland, and he didn't. But Cleveland was paralyzed by it. We're going to prove that Odell Beckham can work in Cleveland. Now he's brittle and expensive, and you're not going to get much for him. You'll get something for him, but you could have gotten so much more. And the signs were obvious. Like last year, it's no longer disputable. Of the nine receivers, the nine top receivers Baker Mayfield targeted last year, Odell Beckham was last in passer rating and completion percentage from Baker. That means Baker's completion percentage was lower throwing to Odell than any other player, and his passer rating was lower than throwing to any other player. It's not even disputable now. He forces the ball to Odell Beckham. But this is why it's really important in the NFL to not worry about what other people think of you. This is something we've been banging on for 2 years. Odell wasn't a great fit. Baker was forcing the ball to him. A little bit like Dak and Dez. Remember the Cowboys moved off him. Dak felt like he had to get the ball to Dez, and Dak's numbers were fine without Dez once he got Amari Cooper. So the story today, the Browns will have to move Odell. I don't think they'll get nearly the haul they would have 2 years ago. If you remember back in, it was 2019 actually. I think he played 15 or 16 games, had 1,000 yards. That was the time to move him. But they wanted to prove stars work in Cleveland. We're going to prove. Don't worry about what people think. Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. History of injuries. That was the day you moved him. Look at the data. Move him. You could have gotten a first-round pick for him. You'd be out of your mind to get a first-round pickup for Odell Beckham now. You'd be out of your mind. Expensive and hurt all the time. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Broncos have been struggling to find their next franchise quarterback ever since Peyton Manning retired, but they're ready to throw their hat in the ring for Deshaun Watson. The Broncos will reportedly pursue a trade for Deshaun if the Texans make him available this offseason. So the story is a little strange because the Texans have been pretty upfront about the idea that they are not trading Deshaun Watson,
right?
Which would tend to make you believe that they're waiting for someone to give them a ridiculous haul to then consider it.
Right.
So the idea that the Broncos are going to wait until the Texans make him available, it seems like you'd be a little late in the game if that's how you're handling it. They could offer him, could offer the Texans Drew Lock, and they have the 9th pick in the draft. They could put together a pretty nice package for the Texans. Could they compete with someone like the Jets? I don't know. But it seems like if the Broncos really want Deshaun Watson, they're going to have to be aggressive as opposed to react.
This is the third or fourth team. We saw the Carolina story a couple days ago. There's a bidding war for Deshaun Watson. I'm not, because he came off his best season. Now, it's interesting. He's been hurt before, too. Is this the most valuable Deshaun will ever be in this moment? Not saying he wouldn't be valuable in 3 years, but one more injury to him, and he's a playmaker. He moves. One more injury, and a lot of teams will just move to another young quarterback. I could make the argument, Deshaun off his best year, he has been healthy. This is the moment to, if you're going to move him, this is the year. Now, you don't want to move him ideally, but Joy, Denver now, this is the third team publicly we've heard about. You got a bidding war. You could get now 4 first-round picks, a bridge quarterback, second-round picks. You know, it's the old saying, strike when the iron is hot. This is a bad relationship. This may be the moment that you can get the most ever for Deshaun, and you take a terrible situation and then make it palatable.
Well, it makes sense that the Texans are saying that they're not going to make him available because then that's going to make teams be more aggressive and offer more to get him. So obviously, if the Texans are like, yeah, we're trading him, they lose leverage in that spot. It's similar to the situation with Odell. I agree with you. One more injury and it changes everything. I don't think that he is on the Texans roster the start of the season.
Neither do
but
I.
This is the right strategy for the Texans right now.
Yeah.
So J.J. Watt has already gotten a lot of interest since his release from the Texans. His former teammate, DeAndre Hopkins, appears to be enjoying life away from Houston and is now trying to convince SWAT to join him in Arizona. He posted a picture of the two of them on Instagram with the caption, "Let's finish what we started." Great graphic work, by the way, because they won. And DeAndre Hopkins in Cardinals jerseys. So it really, like, I had to do a double take at first. I was like, what is happening? Their artists are amazing. Juju Smith-Schuster also made a case for the Steelers, commenting on that post, "Come play with your brothers, LOL." And J.J. Watt just tweeted a few minutes ago, "Free agency is wild." So the story and all the news surrounding J.J. Watt is it's more fun, obviously, because he's a free agent and yeah. Juju can do that and DeAndre Hopkins can do that. It's not the stressful situation that's going on with Deshaun Watson. But I'm really excited to find out where he ends up.
So, you know, listen, he is older, he's been dinged up, and he's expensive. But again, there's a handful of really good teams, Baltimore, Green Bay, where Joy, it feels like they're kind of a pass rusher away from, like, taking another step. And I go back to something with Green Bay. All of Green Bay's rivals have been super aggressive. Green Bay has been, and not a shot, it's just the way they do business. This would be symbolic to me if Green Bay went out and overspent a little. It feels like it's a moment in time. It's the crowded bar theory. Let's create a little juice inside the Packer organization. Just a little juice now. Let's, for the first time in your life, dip into our 401k and get a little uncomfortable, overspend for vacation. It feels like a moment. Don't do that a lot. Doesn't change your culture in Green Bay. I mean, you can be somebody that's really smart with your money and overspend on a vacation. It's okay to do that. And I think Green Bay, this is the moment in time to go for it.
We talk about it all the time, that aggressive wins in sports. You're seeing that happen. Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year are the best example of that. They were not in the playoffs last year, and they just won the Super Bowl. Obviously, Tom Brady being the biggest factor there, but they've made a lot of other aggressive moves, and all of those moves contributed, not only throughout the regular season, but especially in the biggest in the Super Bowl. So I totally agree with you, Green Bay is the move, but they do need to
yep.
one. So the Nets were without Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving last night, and it looked like they were headed towards a blowout loss to the Suns. They were down 75-54 at halftime and trailed by as many as 24 points a game. But James Harden scored 38, including a huge three-pointer to secure the lead with 30 seconds remaining. Brooklyn was also able to slow down the Suns' offense, holding them to just 49 second half.
Yep.
124 wins. I thought this was a very significant game for the Nets, being without KD and Kyrie. It was looking bleak. They kicked up the defense in the second half, and everyone contributed. Joe Harris at 22 points, 4 rebounds. Jeff Green at 18 points, 8 rebounds. And the Suns are the hottest team in the league right now. Like, they've been playing unbelievable basketball. Chris Paul at 29 points, Devin Booker at 22 points. This wasn't like they're blowing out the Suns of, you know, 3 years ago. This was a really good win for the Nets.
Yeah, I think I didn't watch it. Devin Booker apparently struggled a little bit down the stretch, and that opened the door for the Nets and James Harden to pull it out. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Well, he's a part of a Fox Sports family now. He played in the NFL for 6 years. He's done college and pro. He's got a real sense of college personnel and some NFL situations. He's up formerly in Seattle. It's Brock Huard. He's joining us now, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Let me start with this. You were always a team guy. Russell Wilson has a little bit your personality, where it's about, you know, you say the right stuff. Go Hawks. You don't get right. Are you surprised how aggressive that Russell Wilson was in the last week, calling out the O-line, some personnel situations? Were you surprised?
Yes. Now, to be fair, Colin, I never said go Huskies or go Hawks. That's a Russell. But to your point, I mean, for 9 years, he's been the ultimate pro. He's never flinched, never. And even my buddy Peyton, remember years ago against the Chargers, that playoff loss, you know, he flinched post game, let some of his frustration with the O-line and the plan and the blocking. And, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers, some of his peers will flinch a little bit. Russell never has done that in season. He's taken every arrow. And you're right. This is off brand. You know, he's got a brand. I don't know if you know this or not, Colin, but he's got a clothing line called the Good Man Brand. And this is more of the I'm agitated man brain. and it's a sense of urgency. You know, that's what his camp and I think he'll tell you is, hey man, time is now. Like I'm 9 years into this thing and I'm at maybe the middle part of my career and I probably will never run like I used to run. I sat up in the Super Bowl and it had to be fascinating for him sitting there with the commissioner. On one side he's watching Mahomes going, yeah, I've played the game like that. I was that guy, my first 3 years, 4 years. And then on the other end, he looks at Tom Brady and says, but that's where I want to be. That's who I'm going to be. I want to play till I'm 45. And it had to be fascinating. And I don't think it was coincidental coming off that Super Bowl that he does his media blitz and talks to people and says, we got to get right. We got to get right up front. I got to get more help. And from his perspective, it's urgency. From the fans' perspective, Colin, this is fascinating. I put out a little Twitter poll last night to the Seattle fans, just kind of engaging them. What do you think? How would you grade Russell's performance here? And the majority said out of character and petty, that this is just not who he's been. So, yeah, it'll be a fascinating exchange here in the weeks and months ahead, I think, with Pete Carroll, with John Schneider, and then ultimately with his teammates and his O-line when they walk back in the room.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Pete now has, next to Belichick, probably the most personnel power in the league as a head coach. Andy Reid doesn't have it. Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis makes the calls in New Orleans. And I have said since they won a Super Bowl, they've had one playoff win in 6 years of note. I do feel at times they're kind of making it up as they go. I think I said this yesterday. Pete Carroll is Doc Rivers. He's likable. He's got a presence. He's got a title. We're reluctant to push back. But I do feel Pete is a little quirky, has a little too much current power, and I do feel he gets a little bit of a pass in the Northwest. Do you?
Yeah, I heard your comments earlier this week, Colin, and I thought a lot of those were pretty fair. And one of them that was really astute, and obviously you're pretty connected with some people there as well, was the influence that Paul Allen had. I think many times people looked at Paul Allen and said, billionaire, enigmatic, eccentric, not really involved. And that couldn't have been further from the truth. You know, John Schneider had to write a report after every game detailing every single play. What happened on that play, coaching personnel, that's the GM, John Schneider. And he gave that report to Paul Allen. Paul Allen brought consultants in, that weren't brought in by Pete Carroll, consultants in to just kind of, hey, let's have some checks and balances. Let's ask some questions. An inquisitive, curious guy, Paul Allen, a tremendous force there for many, many years. And I think his horsepower, his curiosity, his brain power, and you alluded to that, that it's no longer there. And that's not a slight on Jody Allen, his sister, who's taken over. By all accounts, people there think the world of her, and she's done a fine job. But Paul was different. Paul was curious. Paul was really involved. And I think that's a fair question. You know, who is challenging Pete? Pete loves to compete, right? Wrote a book about it. Win forever. Compete every day. Who's competing with Pete? Who's pushing Pete? I think Colin, that is a legitimate question and a very legitimate point.
You know, we were talking this morning. I saw this morning, Brock, fascinating, that the Niners whenever there's smoke, there's fire. There's like six stories they're not happy with Garoppolo. And it's really fascinating, Brock. So here's the facts. That he's won 75% of his starts. He has a quarterback rating of 99. San Francisco, with a coach we love, stinks when he doesn't play. Yet he has been hurt in week two in 2016. In week three in 2018. In week two in 2020. So what that tells me, he comes out of camp. His body cannot withstand an NFL beat. It's different if you gave me 14 weeks a year, and then at the end of the year, he is in trouble by September. I do get this. By the way, we've heard Kirk Cousins to San Francisco. Kirk's never missed a start. What would you do if you ran the Niners today? You got the 12th pick. There's quarterbacks on the market. I look at this morning, and I think, they just don't want to see that. They don't trust his body. I think they like him. They don't trust his body. What would you do in San Francisco?
Well, 12's tough because everybody that I really like is not going to be there at 12. And I don't think if Mac Jones is sitting there at 12, I've seen some of that speculation. And a very accurate passer, and you know, had a tremendous productive run at Alabama and a great Senior Bowl. But I think there's going to be better players, better suited for their program long term than Mac Jones at number 12. So I would exhaust every opportunity. I would turn over every stone. John Lynch and Shanahan are innovative. They're out front. They are proactive. They don't tend to be reactive. And it's why I think they've built a tremendous, tremendous roster that was a deep post away from Garoppolo hitting and winning that Super Bowl against the Chiefs if he could hit that thing. You know, and people all the time, Colin, I could speak firsthand, okay? I was hurt all through my pro career. I never made it, never established myself. I was never reliable. I was never available. But beyond that, and I think the question here is, can you protect yourself? It's not even his frame and his body. He's a well-built guy. He's the best-looking quarterback in the league. Sorry, Brady. I mean, he's a hottie, and he's got a good body. But it's about protecting himself, understanding how to. And I watched Peyton Manning play games, Colin, where he didn't get hits. You were just talking about Aaron Rodgers, okay, playing games where you don't get hits, where you protect yourself. And that's a skill. That's an experience. That's an ability. And, yeah, I think the brass there is concerned that, A, he's always been hurt, as you said, and, B, he doesn't really understand how to protect himself to do it over the long term. And thus, they will turn over every stone via the draft, via free agency, via trade. But they'll probably do it sneakily. They'll probably not let you know. And they'll probably get done, and you'll say on your show, wow, you enjoy. What a smart move. San Francisco's full of smart people that make smart moves and aggressive moves.
Here's a contrarian take that Deshaun Watson's obviously a terrific player, but he's had injuries. He just had his best year. Yep. One more injury, and a lot of teams would say, we'll just go get a new guy. I know you'd love to keep him, but you couldn't win with him. And right now it appears there's 4 to 5 teams in a bidding war potentially for him. Could I make the argument that this is actually the rare moment that you could get the most for Deshaun in this moment? And he doesn't want to play with you. He doesn't like the infrastructure. And, I mean, you know it. If the quarterback doesn't want to be there, it's going to seep.
Yeah.
It'll just be just bad medicine for the organization. That my argument is, if you had to trade him, this is the moment in time to do it.
Oh, I don't think that's terribly contrarian at all. And most importantly is what you said. He's made that statement. He's made that conviction. He's the one, and he's smart enough, and he's surrounded by really bright people as well that told him, hey, Deshaun, if you go down this road, you got to understand the heat is coming. The attacks are going to be coming. Okay, the PR is not going to go your way. You're beloved now. The people love you. The mayor wants you there. You got to understand in time that will turn, and are you willing to play in that heat? And his definitive answer has been, yes, yes, I am. So I don't think it's terribly contrarian, everything you just laid out. That if indeed, and by the way, you talk to people in Houston, it's not just trading Deshaun. How else can we free up some space? You're going to take Deshaun and this bad contract. You're going to take Deshaun and, you know, give us some more freedom and capital through it picks and some cap flexibility over the long term. So most importantly, because he has said very clearly, I'm done. I don't want to be here. I'm done with the owner. I'm done with the team. I'm out. He has made that case. And yeah, to the rest of your points, I think they all make sense.
By the way, you're working with other NFL stars currently right now. Brock, you are joining us to help families in need during COVID. It's called, I think it's fillthestadium.com. Tell me what that is.
Well, thanks, Colin. And by the way, thanks to, to the great people who took care of you and got you back on the air, because many of us were worried about you and praying for you. So I'm so glad that you went through, you know, a tough time and in a real scary circumstance. So I'm glad that you are back on the air. And there's a lot of folks around the world, around the globe, and especially the third world, Colin, that are hurting really badly through this pandemic, not just in America, man. The poverty and the need is real. Yeah, and there's about 50 of us, current pros, former pros, that have joined together with Compassion. And just go to fillthestadium.com. Fillthestadium.com, you can see the unbelievable team that wants to fill an NFL stadium in need. About 70,000 kids around the globe need sponsorships. We're doing our part. The folks at Fox, they reached out to you in your moment of hurt, Colin, and I felt the same thing. Our partners at Fox, our bosses at Fox have been incredible, supportive in this cause and this initiative, and really thankful. Thanks for bringing it up, and thanks that you're well and getting well, and Back on the air, bud.
Brock, I love having you as a teammate. You're one of the really smart, thoughtful guys in our business, and we will talk soon, my friend.
Thank you, Colin. Be well.
All right, good stuff. Yeah, the boy, there's just all this transitional stuff in the NFL I just can't get enough of. I just love it. Carson Wentz, according to stories this morning, he's getting traded the next couple of days. By the way, I'm going to suggest something. I'm confused on what tampering is. And so I'm going to suggest something next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Do you suffer from lead foot? Do goosebumps appear for no reason? Stop living with uninspired performance. Visit mbusa.com/AMG, Mercedes AMG Driving Performance. So this is interesting. You know I like Carson Wentz. I'm a big fan of Carson Wentz. He went off the rails. I don't think it's all his fault. I think it's been mishandled. I think he's a huge talent. He's got to get it right. He needs protection. He needs help. He needs the right coach and organization. But I'm a big fan of Carson Wentz. I want to see him succeed. I also love the way the Colts and general manager Chris Ballard, a friend of mine, I like how they do business. They make trades with discretion. They don't overspend. They never panic. They're very measured. I think they're a quarterback away. So I am rooting for Carson Wentz. I think it would be great for him to go to the Colts. It would make me happy. I think it's better for you, the fans, when really good quarterback talents end up on really well-run teams. Nobody wants to watch bad football. Philadelphia last couple years has been bad football. So the premise I'll start with is I'd like to see him end up, I think it's perfect, San Francisco or the Colts, but really the Colts. And according to reports, the Bears and the Colts are the two teams making offers to the Eagles to get him. So it's down to the Bears and Colts. But I read this morning from Les Bowen, a reporter in Philadelphia. If Wentz doesn't want the Bears are not going to trade for him. And that means the Eagles will just take whatever the Colts are offering. So that's obviously good for Wentz and the Colts, meaning they don't have to sabotage the franchise and give up six picks to get him. So Carson would go to the Colts, and they wouldn't have to give up a ton of draft capital to get him. So the key is Carson Wentz needs to let the Bears know I'm not interested. And I have a question this morning. You can't, tampering is, you know, what's tampering and what's not tampering? So I'm going to ask a question. My staff will give me the answer. Is it tampering for the Colts to somehow communicate with Carson Wentz and tell him, turn down the Bears? That is tampering. Okay, you can't do that. Is it tampering for the Colts to communicate over a cup of coffee with Wentz's agent and let the agent know if he turns down the Bears, we can get him for almost nothing? That's tampering. Is it tampering for me to do a rant telling Carson Wentz, don't go to the Bears, and then the Colts take the rant and send it to Carson Wentz? That's tampering. Is it tampering if I just looked at the camera and told Carson Wentz, tell the Bears you don't want to go, we have this rant, and then we send it out digitally and tag Carson Wentz so he sees it? I can do that. All right, so take this and send it to Carson Wentz. That officially is not tampering. For the record, let me go back to the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. This is really interesting. So according to now more than, this is the second report we've seen on this. The Niners want to get out of the Jimmy Garoppolo business. And as I said to Brock Huard, it's not just that Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt. It's when he gets hurt. He gets hurt in week 2 and 3, meaning his body's just not built for this. The dilemma the Niners are in with Garoppolo is, first of all, he's won 75% of his starts. even with Kyle Shanahan, you stink without him. He got to a Super Bowl, and his quarterback rating is 90. So he's good. Despite what everybody wants to tell you, he's good. Great? I don't know. He's good. Here's the Niners' dilemma. The people available on the market, Carson Wentz, Sam Darnold, Marcus Mariota, and to a lesser degree, Deshaun Watson, also have an injury history. Also could be best described as, at times, reckless. So this explains why Kirk Cousins' name keeps coming up for San Francisco. You see him, and I see him as limited. But Kirk Cousins has never missed a start. And the NFL's got a long line of really talented quarterbacks who just couldn't stay healthy. Andrew Luck, RG3, Sam Bradford, Tony Romo, Marcus Mariota, Jimmy Garoppolo. So it's a real interesting dilemma. It's not that he just gets hurt. He's hurt by week two. His body cannot sustain even early September pounding in the NFL. He is hurt throughout seasons. And San Francisco, according to reports, is going to move off him. But where are they going to go? Darnold's hurt and reckless. Wentz can be hurt and reckless. Mariota's reckless and hurt. Deshaun Watson's had two injuries. Hour two, next.